I'm Andy Borowitz in for Leonard Lopate. Well, a lot of people who follow politics talk about dysfunction in Washington. And on the HBO series Veep, dysfunction has taken to a whole new level. The ambitious Vice President Selina Meyer, played by Julia Louis-Dreyfus, is continually thwarted by circumstances, her job description, political maneuvering, and at times her own staff. Joining me now is Anna Klumsky, who plays Amy Bruckheimer, Meyer's chief of staff. She was nominated for an Emmy in 2013. Veep airs on HBO on Sunday at 10:30 p.m. And I'm pleased to welcome Anna Klumsky to the show today. And I have been mispronouncing your name on the air, I'm told, for I think 9 days in a row now. I've been saying Anna Klumsky.
No one
stopped me. Is this a problem that has haunted you? It's dogged you throughout your life?
Yes, absolutely it has. And I can't take credit for the ridiculous spelling.
It does look like Klumsky, in fairness.
It does to English speakers, yes. I think to Czech speakers it looks like Klumsky, but...
Well, okay. Well, I'm glad we cleared that up.
Thank you.
I just want to put this out there right at the beginning. The show is fantastic.
Thank
it's really
you.
One of the best comedies on TV, and I sometimes wonder why it doesn't get even more attention. It just is a really smart, funny, fast comedy. I think a lot of it comes down to the cast, and obviously you and Julia Louis-Dreyfus, who's, you know, a national treasure.
That's the word.
But I want to talk a little bit about the writer, creator of the show, Armando Iannucci, because I'm a longtime fan of his. He's a towering legend of British TV.
Yes.
And he did a show in Great Britain that's actually very similar to this show called The Thick of It, which is all about sort of craven, self-motivated political operatives in Britain and all sort of low-level politics.
Right.
And it's shot in this kind of documentary style, a lot of, radio mics and handheld cameras and stuff like that. And then that formed the basis of this movie, In the Loop, which
yes.
was the first time I saw you because you were in that.
Yes.
And how did you get together with Armando Iannucci? Did you just audition for the role? And
that was just an audition, and it was a cold read. He likes to do cold reads because he likes to see how fast people can be with the information.
Mm-hmm.
I was in the throes of a really dramatic kind of very dark and tortured play at the Labyrinth. And so, given the chance to kind of do some comedy and some cerebral comedy at that was a welcome treat. So that audition itself was just fun. And I think I think it made me look good.
And then the style, and people can check out In the Loop. It's available on, I think it's on Netflix or Amazon Instant Video, mm-hmm. or whatever. It's a great movie. But the style of it is so similar to Veep because everything seems kind of improvised, even though I assume by the time the cameras roll, there's a great script that's been
yes.
written and everything. But how much improvisation? Because you actually in Veep, you have all of these great improvisational actors like Matt Walsh and
yes,
Kevin Dunn and
yeah.
and Julia herself.
Mm-hmm.
So how much are you given, like, a rock-solid script but then told to play with it, or how does it work?
That's a lot of what we do. I mean, how Armando likes to work is he likes to workshop his scripts.
Mm-hmm.
So it's very much like when you're workshopping a new theater piece, where he'll have a draft that all these brilliant writers, all the people in his crew, will come up with, and then he gets the cast around a table. We all read it, and then we all get up on our feet and just muck around.
Mm-hmm.
And then all the writers will be furiously taking notes, and then in the next drafts you start to see some of the things that you did in that rehearsal period.
So do you do that read through while you're filming the prior week's episode, and then that gives them some days to work on it before you
sometimes,
see it again?
Sometimes we it kind of runs the gamut. We've been known to rehearse months ahead of our of our first few episodes, and we've also been known to rehearse the morning of.
Wow.
Wow. So yeah, it keeps us on our toes.
But then once you're actually rolling, how much? Because the lines have a great throwaway quality. Nothing is delivered in kind of a sitcom-y way. It's very cinema verite.
Yes.
So how much of that are by the time you're delivering your lines? Is it all pretty much in the script, or
most of it is? Especially because some of the information that we have to get across, we couldn't do just coming up with on the fly. Like that, it has to be there.
It's very tightly plotted.
Absolutely.
It's not,
and that's
like
something
just messing around.
Exactly. And he loves that. That's, I think, something that Arm loves to do so much is the plot writing. And then all those insults and all those, you know, the quips and everything, those are the children of our writers for sure, the brain children.
Right. And it's very profane, I should add.
Oh,
like,
it's
incredibly
terribly.
People sort of are one-upping each other to be as gross as possible.
Indeed. And I always say there's a difference between saying bad language and using bad language, and I think we use it very well.
Oh, I see. That's a distinction you're making.
Yes.
The season premiere was hilarious. That was on last weekend.
Thank you.
And Selena Meyer, Julia's character, is she's out on a book tour in Iowa because she's now she's sort of like Hillary. She's like she hasn't announced that she's running
for
president.
Yeah, she's always got it in her pocket.
But like, she's got it in her pocket.
Yeah.
But she's doing a book tour, which you have to do as a politician. And I love the title of her book. Is as sort of bland and committee driven as possible. It's called Some New Beginnings, which doesn't mean anything. And there's a lot of discussion about that.
Oh,
and
my
then everybody,
God.
I love that everybody on the book line is sort of asking her what
like,
that means.
What does it and mean? She's
some
like,
new
next.
Beginnings. Next. but it's a great, I like the structure of that episode because she's off doing this book tour, which she's so half-hearted about and very phony in the way that only she can be phony. And you guys are all stuck back in Washington and sort of tethered to her by your phones, but you're at a wedding, so you have to all, you know, put your phones in the phone bowl.
Indeed.
There is a sense almost of separation anxiety when you're separated from the power person.
Yes.
That feels like a very, I mean, I've never lived or worked in Washington, but that felt very authentic to me.
I remember one of our consultants said that the BlackBerry has become her leash. So it's her way to get farther away from the office and maybe, you know, it just physically farther away. However, it's her way of at least being at the office. So her boss knows that she's still there. So it's a conditional freedom that they have.
I'm Andy Borowitz in for Leonard Lopate, and I'm talking to the wonderful Anna Klumsky, who plays Amy Bruckheimer, the chief of staff in the HBO series Veep. You mentioned that, you know, one of your consultants. Are you at liberty to say who is putting the stuff in Armando's ear and telling him what's authentic and what's not?
We have a few consultants that are actually credited, so you see them every Sunday. They're all, you know, you can see who they are, and they're all just indispensable to us. And also we get lots of visitors who then, you know, I mean Ron Klain, the former chief of staff for both Biden and for Gore at one time, came to visit once, and I just kind of pounced and just asked him a bunch of things about the episode we were doing. And I've mentioned Laura Schiller, Barbara Boxer's chief of staff, has been instrumental for me. People are very, very, very generous with their time and energy. I think because we really are committed. We know that it's only funny if it's as rooted in truth as possible.
Right.
So especially because it's so farcical what we're actually doing. So we're very committed to tell people's stories the way they know it, you know, and the way that they live it. So I think that the DC community in general, who knows, I can't speak for everyone, but the people at least that we have relationships with are very grateful that someone's at least making them able to laugh.
Is it a hot show in Washington? Are like people in Washington into it?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Every time I've visited and I visited friends of mine that are on whoever's staff, everybody that I know feels in some way that we're capturing some portion of their life, or this guy, I know that guy, or I know so many Jonas, or I know so many Dans, and, you know, I won't go to this party because there's going to be too many Jonas there. I mean, it's definitely, it's very gratifying for us to know that, that Washington's watching and at least appreciating it to some degree.
Now, you, in the course of the series, Selena, Julia's character, asks you to do some pretty humiliating things for her.
Yeah.
I won't spell them all out, but is your character always the good soldier? Will you do anything? Do you have any barriers, any limits?
You know, the way I look at it with Amy is that she fancies herself to be a very, very astute game player.
Mm-hmm.
So where other people, because DC can be so fast paced, I think everyone's really into the short game and winning this battle, winning that battle. I think Amy fancies herself someone who is willing to lose some of the battles now, maybe in her personal life or, you know, in her dynamic with Selena, in order to win the long game.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I can think of one terribly humiliating thing in the first season where at first when I read that, I was like, why would she ever agree to that? Why would she ever? And the whole time we were playing the scene, it was really just unfolding for me that she's like, yeah, I can use this against you if I ever have to.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
Right.
So everything is currency, and every favor she does. Yeah, Amy's like her one-woman mafia. Every favor she does, she's going to call in somewhere.
But you guys have a great chemistry together. Had you done a lot of improvisational theater before this? Or?
I'd done none. I'm not trained that way. I'm trained
trained
in, yes,
stage actress.
Yeah.
You read the lines.
The text is the thing. Yeah. But really, yeah, like in this day and age, if you're trained for theater in any way, you run up against Meisner. And so then, therefore, you kind of know how to have an intention.
Wait a minute. You got very technical there. You run up against Meisner. Don't just throw that out there and expect me to know what that means. Although probably everybody in our listening audience does know Meisner.
Maybe.
Well, what does that mean, you run up against Meisner?
He was
I know, Sanford Meisner,
yes,
right?
Yes, yes.
I have heard of him.
So that technique, basically, there's a lot of little games that you can play where you learn how to keep an intention, like,
mm-hmm.
of your characters,
mm-hmm.
while maybe not having the text.
Mm-hmm.
Or, you know, so it's all about being present.
Right.
And so that's the kind of improv we'll run into in, like, arms work. It's never really to create a story.
Right.
We already know the story. We already know our character's situation. So it's always just to muddy it up. And that's why people have compared him to Altman and like you said, cinema verite, things like that, because that's more the idea as opposed to the craft of improv, which we'll see at see it like the Pit or UCB, where they're actually creating it before your eyes,
right
which is,
and this long form stuff, which is insane.
It's insane.
Yeah.
And it's
hard to
a
believe
whole
they can
other
do it.
Thing, and they're amazing at it. They're so, I mean, Matt, like you've said, and we have Dan Bacadal and David Pasquese on our show, and I mean, they're incredible at that. But yeah, that's a far cry from what I do.
what have you learned? Well, probably the answer is everything. But what have you learned from working with Julia? What has that been like for you?
Oh, geez. She, you know, I think, just personally, one of the things I've learned from her is that it's very possible to be a good human being and a
yes.
terribly talented person and a wonderful wife and mother.
Right.
You know, she really is very grounded and generous with her life and with her time, and you know, it just makes you believe that, yeah, if you work hard enough and if you keep your head about you, that these good things can be in your life, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And she's just the beacon as a female, as a working female.
She's also, you know, she's a generous performer if you look at the show, because she has chosen to surround herself with so many gifted actors, and she's often setting up the really hilarious thing that someone else is
mm-hmm.
doing. She doesn't feel the need to carry the whole thing at mm-hmm. all. I mean, I was actually struck in that first episode, the premiere of season 3, that, you know, you love seeing her when she's there, but since it has that kind of bifurcated structure and all the scenes where she wasn't there, you kind of didn't miss her. Like, you know, all this great stuff was going on there, too. So it just makes the overall effect that much stronger.
It really does. She is that kind of, and I think that this speaks to her strength and how she's gotten where she is, that she really, really, truly cares about the project as a whole. Mm-hmm. Whatever she can do, whatever somebody else can do to make it the best it can be, that's what she'll do, you know. So it's if it's like freezing cold weather and she has to be in a river, she's like, as long as the shot's good and it's funny, I'm doing it, you know. Put me in the waders, I'm in it. So she's the hardest working woman in show business as far as I'm concerned.
Well, it was a real treat meeting you. Learning how to pronounce your name was also cool. I've been speaking with Anna Chlumsky from HBO's Veep. The next episode airs this Sunday. It's been such a pleasure getting to meet you.
Likewise. Thanks so much for having me.
All right. Thanks.